Before I begin, let me pray. Gracious God, thank you for this day. Thank you for the wisdom in Ecclesiastes. I just pray that tonight that you will clearly speak through me and we will draw closer to you. Amen. So what is pleasure? I don't know about you, but I love food. Not just any food, the sort of food you find at a fine dining restaurant. Let's imagine it's tartare salmon with wasabi and pickled beetroot, or a creme brulee where the top of the custard makes the perfect crack sound. Now that's pleasure. Or a holiday where the weather is warm, the afternoon is spent by the beach, sipping on cocktails, then going out at night, dining on delicious food and wine. Now that's pleasure. Or family who you always want the best for, the best schools, the best universities, the best opportunities. Maybe it's the best wedding in Burundara. Now that's pleasure. In our lives, we want to be happy, whatever that means. We want to avoid pain and suffering, but also find something that will give us lasting joy and pleasure. Some of us will do anything to achieve this. As Adam said last week, Solomon had access to more wealth relative to the people around him than we could ever dream of. He was richer than Elon Musk, whose net worth is $447 billion. But not only that, Solomon is king. He is the ruler of the largest kingdom in the world at that time. Pleasure is not always what it seems. I said to myself, come now, I will test you with pleasure to find out what is good. But that also proved to be meaningless. Laughter, I said, is madness. And what does pleasure accomplish? I tried cheering myself with wine and embracing folly, my mind still guiding me with wisdom. I wanted to see what was good for people to do under the heavens during the few days of their lives. Notice that he said in my heart, come now, I will test you with pleasure. Enjoy yourself. Solomon wants to see if his thirst for pleasure can be satisfied. We all enjoy pleasure, don't we? Whether that's through food, holidays, relationships, buying material things like shoes, clothes, new golf clubs, and new tools for the workshop. None of these are inherently bad. Unless it affects our relationship with God. Do you know how many people in this country are addicted to pornography? A study found that 76% of Australian men and 41% of women had viewed pornography in the past year. Experiencing that temporary high doesn't help your life to get any better. It doesn't last and is not real or meaningful to you. The sad part is that people throw away their lives chasing temporary pleasure and satisfaction. Maybe you're not seeking sexual fulfillment. Maybe the pleasure is drinking alcohol or overindulging in something else. Whatever you think might give you pleasure, it will never last. Pleasure, success, and riches do not give lasting satisfaction. But I know something that gives us a lasting eternal satisfaction, a real relationship with Jesus. So, what about success? Next, Solomon discusses success. I undertook great projects. I built houses for myself and planted vineyards. I made gardens and parks and planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made reservoirs to water groves of flourishing trees. The next thing Solomon does is set himself out to accomplish incredible feats. He builds gardens that put other gardens to shame. He built palaces and vineyards for himself, where he could live a luxurious life of ease. We have many things we hope to accomplish in our lives, don't we? Whether it's in our career, having a beautiful home, owning a beach house, sending our kids to the best schools, having lovely holidays. We believe that accomplishing great success brings us satisfaction. As believers, though, we can find a different kind of pleasure. Gary Ablett Jr. is a dual premiership player and dual Brownlow medalist, and also a Christian. Gary lives out his faith in a way that is countercultural. When he was playing AFL, he put God first, not the game. Gary led Bible studies for the players. He would often quote Bible verses on social media before a game. For example, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it for the glory of God." Pleasure, success, and riches do not give lasting satisfaction, but I know something that gives us a lasting, eternal satisfaction, a real relationship with Jesus. So what about riches? I bought male and female slaves and had other slaves who were born in my house. I also owned more herds and flocks than anyone in Jerusalem before me. I amassed silver and gold for myself and the treasure of kings and provinces. I acquired male and female singers and a harem, as well as the delights of a man's heart. Then Solomon moves on to his possessions and lists off all his wealth: male, female slaves, female singers, and a harem, and the most herds of animals in Jerusalem, and he had amassed so much silver and gold. He was completely set for life. So he thought. As believers, there is nothing wrong with liking or wanting beautiful things. However, a problem arises when we desire those things more than we desire God. As I said before, we just sold our family home in Hawthorn. It was a stressful month, wondering whether we would sell and could purchase our retirement plan. I'm not going to lie, during this period of selling, I desired the new beautiful home more than God. If we're honest, we have all had that experience. Pleasure, success, and riches do not give us lasting satisfaction, but I know something that gives us a lasting, eternal satisfaction, a real relationship with Jesus. Meaningless. I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me. In all this, my wisdom stayed with me. I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my labor, and this was the reward for all my toil. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. In our lives, we desire the latest and greatest things. With the internet being what it is, everyone sees what they are missing, and we all want more. We wonder what it would be like to have something else, to be something else, or to experience something that we've never done before, not realizing that it'll be much of the same. So Solomon says all of this pleasure, success, and riches are just meaningless. We spend all this time and effort trying to enjoy some pleasure or reach some level of success. And when we get there, it can often leave us feeling nothing. All that's there is the other side of the mountain, nothing special. What's amazing is that we see another mountain and think, "I wonder what's over that mountain," and we never catch on. It's always nothing but the other side of the mountain. pleasure, success, and riches do not give us lasting satisfaction, but I know something that gives us a lasting eternal satisfaction, a real relationship with Jesus. So, what does Christ reveal? When we come into the New Testament, Christ gives us something more hopeful than this. He tells us that we can live for something eternal. Do not store up yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is where your heart will be also. If your heart could speak, what would it say? Would it say that your ultimate priorities, desires, and affections align with Jesus or things? As a believer, do you have eternal perspective? Can you shift from an earthly, transient perspective to an eternal one, focusing on activities that have lasting effect on your relationship with Jesus? So, how can we live differently to Solomon? Focus on how God wants you to live. As believers, I want to encourage you to build up spiritual treasures through acts of faith, love, service, and devotion to God's kingdom. As believers, make purposeful investments. Invest in God's kingdom through generosity, compassion, and faithful living rather than hoarding wealth. As believers, trust in God's provision. The passage from Matthew suggests a deep trust in God for daily needs rather than an anxious attachment to material possessions that ultimately cannot provide lasting security. Let me finish. As believers, live a life worth living, devoted to eternal things, not earthly things. I'll say it again. As believers, live a life devoted to eternal things, not earthly things.